still want you.
Hello, brother. I'm Grace.
Hello, brother. I'm Stephanie.
And this is Doppelgangers. Today, we're talking about season 8, episode 3 of The Vampire Diaries, which is called You Decided I Was Worth Saving.
And thank you, Bonnie, for doing just that.
You can't blame anyone for the decisions they made this episode, even though they were at odds with each other. The only person you can blame for anything is Sybil.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, there's a part of me from like a anthropological podcast perspective that I can appreciate Sybil as a villain, but I just hate her ass.
I mean, she just is always saying shit. And it's like, look, you're Simon. I get that your thing is singing. Do you have to talk so fucking much? Not that I don't want a woman to speak, but
I don't want this woman to speak. I remember when I first watched season 8, I really hated her. And again, I think it's because I don't particularly care for Natalie Kelly, as well as, you know, I don't appreciate her going in and messing with the Delana memories we know and love. Like, I just don't appreciate that.
I don't mind her as a villain, mostly because season 7 was such a slog. But yeah, it pisses me off because, you know, I'll get on a bit of a tangent here. But I am kind of a hater of ambiguous endings because I don't want to think that hard. Tell me what happened. And one of the TV shows that I don't think we're going this path with Vampire Diaries based off what I know, but this reminds me of is the end of Chuck, where, you know, spoilers for the finale of Chuck, we like don't know if she gets her memories of their whole relationship back. And I don't like that because let them be in love at the end of the show.
Yeah, let's do a happy ending. But you're worried that this leads to like at the end, we don't know if he's free or not.
Or just like that, you know, how does he get the memories back? Because we know Elena had to cross the anti-magic border, or actually, no, she had to become human. Oh, then never mind. Damon's fine.
But Sybil's not a vampire, so it wouldn't work the same way. And also,
oh,
we don't know that Damon's going to take the cure. He basically told us he would.
Yeah.
But, you know, all love to Damon. He hasn't always kept every promise.
Yeah, that's true. That's just what it reminds me of. I don't think that's what we're going to do, because I do get the sense, based off, you know, how they've named episodes after like lines, that they're aiming for like not a happy ending necessarily, because I know enough to know that that's not necessarily true, but like not a depressing ending, depending on, you know, what you call depressing.
I guess we'll see if everybody gets a nice happy ending at the end of this.
I have enough information to know that doesn't happen, so I don't know why I'm saying that.
Who can say? I mean, I appreciate Sybil as a villain. I mean, just because we've got so many great villains, she's not, you know, in my top ranking of villains, but I appreciate what she's doing. I just hate her, which is, it's what you want to inspire. It's what a villain wants to inspire. I feel the way about her that I felt about Rebecca when we first met her, where I was like, girl.
So you were a Rebecca hater.
The way I feel about Otham is like, girl, he don't want you.
Yeah. You know, I'm a Rebecca stan, so I won't even get into that.
I'm a Rebecca stan now, but I wasn't then. I just feel like, you know, when a villain's goal, like Kai, you know, my baby boy Kai, is to like get revenge on his family, it's like, okay, fair.
Yeah.
And I know that this isn't Sybil's main goal, but part of Sybil's goal is just like to have these two guys like her more than Bonnie. It's like a little bit get over it.
It's kind of like, just go get two other vampires. Like, you don't need to like fight these two.
I promise you can find two hot vampires who have no girlfriends.
Or even like with a deal with Damon and Enzo, like, hey, if you can find a hot enough guy and turn him into a vampire, you can go.
They'd do it.
They would do it so fast. Like, this, why are you wasting your energy trying to get them to do something they don't want to do?
Like, you're a Simon. You can mind control most people. If these two are a sticking point for you, cut your losses and move on. Why does it need to be these two? And I guess that is a question. Does it need to be these two?
No, it doesn't need to be these two. I think she's just like, now it's like a competition thing. Like, oh, you think you're better than falling for this? So now I'm going to get you.
It's like a playing hard to get thing. She wants them more now.
Yeah. Veruca Salt head ass.
I was going to say it's like the Chinese finger trap. The more you struggle, the harder it is.
Exactly. And it's crazy too. And, you know, we'll get to this later. I don't think Bonnie even knows what the fuck she did to these two to make them like her so much. She's like, I was just hanging out. Like, I'm just likable.
I hate to draw this comparison, but it's the same way as when Enzo was like, why do you all want to die for each other? Like, you can ask that question till the cows come home, but the answer is always, we are friends and we have history and a relationship that was built over years. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know what answer you think you're going to get, but you're not going to get something that is like, I can apply that today and they will suddenly choose me over you. The answer is we are friends.
Bonnie didn't trick them. That's the thing. Bonnie's like, this is just my personality. People actually actively like me. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Probably not.
I mean, Sybil, you could try to learn the guitar. That might help.
It's a step. You could learn to make pancakes. You could, I don't know, shut the fuck up once in a while and let other people talk.
You could like save everyone's lives like every once in a while. That's what Bonnie did to get Damon on her side.
Yeah. It's just, girl, you're playing a losing game.
Yeah. I don't know what you want the end game to be here. And it is the same as Enzo, where it's like, what do you want the end game to be here? You're terrorizing these people, but you also want them to be in love with you. Like, you have to pick one, unfortunately.
Yeah,
like
you need to pick what your end game is and then alter your behavior to get to that end game.
And I know she's been in a vault for 200 years, so she clearly has, like, some social learning to do. But, girl.
Like, just choose if you want to be the devil or, like, not. Because if you are waiting for them to come around on you, you lost that game already.
Well, and I hate to tell you this, like, famously, people don't like the devil.
Yeah.
You know, you showed Damon hell and now he doesn't like you. Do you think it might have something to do with that you showed him hell and told him he's going there? Like, I don't know what you expected.
People don't really like being forced to do things they don't want to do. Especially if it's an idea that is actively bad.
And they certainly don't like it when you mess with their subconscious and like really meaningful memories to them. They're not going to be like, ooh, me and the bestie.
You have to either be a villain or be nice because you're not winning them over with the vibes you're putting out.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a little teaser of the episode. We'll get into more detail. Just had a lot to say. Before we get into the rest of it, here's a quick ad.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
As always, I will read the synopsis from Vampire Diaries Wiki. As Enzo continues to fight the control over him, Bonnie finds herself at the center of a deadly game and forced to make a heart-wrenching decision involving two of the most important people in her life. At the Armory, Alaric researches a mysterious artifact that he hopes will help in their fight to get Damon and Enzo back. Finally, Damon's downward spiral leads him to Tyler, who attempts to talk some sense into him before it's too late. Stefan and Caroline also appear. We'll get to this when we get there. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I'm sorry. I'm Tyler. I know Damon's game. If I see a body laying in the road, I'm not getting out of the car until I confirm it's not Damon.
I'm sorry. You're lucky if I swerve.
No, if I see a body, I'll swerve around and call 911 and say I saw a body in the road. I'm just going to assume it's Damon if I'm Tyler.
Because if they're laying in the road, they've got bigger problems than me passing them by. Sorry.
It's a shock that Tyler was even looking at the road and not texting.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he was just texting and just ran Damon over?
You have to think that at some point someone would just run him over.
And he's like, hey.
He's like, excuse me.
Anyway, we'll get to Damon and Tyler later. We start the episode at the bottom of the river below Wickery Bridge.
It's like, oh, we haven't been here in a minute.
We first hear a car crash and then we see the footage of like Elena drowning in the car with her parents, Grayson saying you're going to be okay, Elena saying I love you, they let go. We've seen all this before, it's stock footage. And for a second, Stephanie, you said maybe Grayson Gilbert's going to be a villain finally.
I've been waiting because we're running out of time for that guest to pay off.
Yeah, we'll see if it does. It didn't this episode, but that doesn't mean it's over.
He was villain adjacent in the whole Whitmore storyline.
Sure.
But not a villain enough. I wanted him to really turn, but no.
On top of the bridge, the cops have arrived and one of them is like, oh, the car went off the bridge. We found the third victim. Was it an accident? Over to the side of the bridge, we can see Damon and Sybil watching. And Sybil is wearing her copycat Elena Henley. So she's clearly trying to like rewrite history in Damon's subconscious. Damon says that doesn't look good. There's an officer and he says there are three bodies recovered and then there are body bags. And briefly, we see Queen, Miss You Girl, Liz Forbes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a ponytail to show it's back in time.
Yeah, before she picked her haircut that she'd have till her death.
Yeah, she was one haircut away from her final haircut. She gets on the walkie and says, confirmed 3 fatalities, Grayson, Miranda, and Elena Gilbert. Obviously, she's emotional about that.
Especially on Elena.
Yeah. And then some other officer says, yeah, it's the Gilberts. Who asked you?
She said, that's what I just said.
She said, I'm the fucking sheriff. Sybil says, oh my God, that's so sad. Did you know her? And Damon says, no, never met her. Sybil says, guess now you never will. Well, girl, he already did.
Okay.
And also, this is the other thing that bothers me about Sybil doing all this with his subconscious. It's like, girl, he's already on your side. He's doing all your shit. You should be putting a little bit more work in on Enzo.
Yeah, because Enzo's holding the fort down heavy.
It just feels like a waste of time. And, you know, this is the thing is, like, everybody wants to be Elena Gilbert because when you're that bitch, like, you just are that bitch.
And Sybil, if you're jealous of Bonnie, I wouldn't touch Elena too much if I was you, bitch. Okay? Like, you're gonna lose.
If your question is, like, why does everyone love you, Bonnie? Wait until you meet Elena, bitch.
Take it from a girl who, I don't like you, but I'm just helping you out. You are certainly not winning that fight. And it won't be close. It's not close with Bonnie, but Elena, you're going to be dead in a gutter.
Even taking up all these memories, you're never going to be her. You're just not rocking the Henley.
No one is wearing a Henley like her. And there's no way to explain that to you in a way that makes you understand.
And I know you have straight hair, but it's just not giving the way Elena did. I mean, you're just never going to touch Elena Gilbert. No one is.
No one is.
That's my bitch.
She's eating everybody up all the time.
Even when she's in that coffin.
Yeah, even in a coma, she's still eating your ass up.
She's still causing all this conversation, and she is full laying in a coma.
Like, she's just resting, which she deserves, by the way, from carrying these people for years.
From carrying this show for 6 seasons.
Yeah.
We go to a hotel where Sybil is staying with the boys. Siren HQ, as it were. Sybil's really trying to get into Enzo's mind. She gets literally nothing. She gets, like, a brick wall.
That's a man who knows how to stand up to captivity, bitch.
Thank you, King. Sybil says, oh my God, just turn it off. It's like a little bitty humanity switch right at the back of your noggin. I've got big plans for you, and it'll streamline the whole process if your emotions aren't riding shotgun. Come on, Enzo, room service is getting cold. Enzo says, if you're feeling peckish, don't let me stop you. He said, just eat, girl. You're not getting in here.
He said, you're just tiring yourself out. I'm good up here.
He said, let me have my morning bourbon.
He said, I want to go sit in the corner because I'm annoyed at the situation I'm in. So why don't you just eat and give me my alone time?
Sybil tries again with no luck. And she says, look at Damon over there. Damon over there, meanwhile, is reading 50 Shades Darker, the second book in the 50 Shades series.
I was going to say, is he still working through it?
No, he's on the sequel. I did take a look because at first I was like, he's still working on 50 Shades of Grey. Damn. But nope, it's the second book. Sybil says, he's got the right idea. He's happy. Damon says, I'm bored, actually. Like, just kill him. Sybil says, you know, in 3 millennia, I have a pretty unblemished record when it comes to controlling men. 50,000-0, give or take a few Peloponnesians. The Peloponnesians from the Odyssey.
Oh, well, and so then it's not zero.
Yeah.
So you already broke your perfect record. So what's 2 more, bitch?
Yeah, so just give up on these 2 again. She says, I'm not about to add 1 to the loss column just because he doesn't feel like submitting. And Damon says, yeah, well, he's a tough nut to crack. 70 years in a cage will do that to you. And you're just building up his tolerance for torture. And Sybil says, well, I've got a pretty full itinerary, so I guess we're just going to have to move on to plan B. B as in Bonnie. And Enzo says, which is going to be about as effective as plan A because she means nothing to me. And Sybil says, is that so? Guess we'll find out. Damon, would you do me a favor and kill Bonnie Bennett? And Damon says, sure.
He says, oh, of course you're asking me that.
Enzo says, hey, could we not? Like, can't we just move on and kill, like, evil people again?
Yeah, can't we get to whatever your main plan is? Why are you wasting time on Bonnie? I'm working with you. Just don't bother the people I care about, and I'll keep working with you.
He's like, I show up to work every day and clock in. Why do you want me to be committed to the mission? He's just like he's quiet quitting.
Yeah.
It's legal.
And she's like, well, you're not allowed to work from home anymore.
She said, well, work is actually our family.
Yeah.
And he said, it's not mine.
And if you cared enough about the mission, you wouldn't be asking for more money.
Yeah, exactly. We go over to the Salvatore house. Caroline wakes up. We see her engagement ring in case we forget they're engaged. They're like, see that rock?
Mm-hmm.
She rolls over and Bonnie is in her bed. And Bonnie says, surprise. Karen says, Bonnie, what the hell? And there's balloons everywhere, a banner. Bonnie has decorated the room. Bonnie says, you're engaged and we're celebrating. Engagement party, woo.
Woohoo. I mean, who else are you going to invite?
Yeah. Bonnie says, first, we're going to drink too much champagne, and then I'm taking you wedding dress shopping. I know it's a little early, but you're going to try on thousands of dresses before you find the perfect ones. We may as well start now.
The day started so good.
Caroline says, Bonnie, look, I love you. This is amazing, but you don't have to put on a happy face for me. And Bonnie says, I'm not putting it on because she had a low moment last week, but she's back up. She says, I'm happy for you. I promise. You know, you asked me to be your bridesmaid when we were 10 years old. You've been waiting for this your whole life. I'm happy for you. I swear. She pops the champagne. They're smiling. And Caroline says, okay, but I promise we're going to find Enzo and you two are going to be happy and you're going to get married on top of the Eiffel Tower. And Bonnie says, first things first, planning your June wedding. And Caroline says, oh my God, the June wedding. Obviously, fans of the show, we know when Caroline first saw Stefan, she was like, we're planning a June wedding. Queen of manifestation, Caroline Forbes.
And I will say, right after we recorded the first episode of this season, when I did such a horrible job guessing episode titles, I was like, should have guessed June wedding for one of the titles. I'm just putting that on mic now.
Because you feel pretty confident about it.
Yeah.
Bonnie holds up a scrapbook that says Caroline's wedding. And Caroline says, you snuck into my house and found my old wedding book.
Caroline remains the realest bitch. That's me.
Yeah.
I love her.
She gets it. Bonnie says, how else was I going to out Caroline Forbes? Caroline Forbes. And Caroline says, Bonnie, this is amazing. You're amazing. Thank you. And Bonnie says, you're welcome. And Caroline says, I'm getting married.
So exciting.
Bonnie says, now that I have a drink in you, mind you, like one sip of champagne, but sure.
Yeah.
Bonnie says, I have to ask, how did Rick take the news? And she said, I forgot about him, TBH.
She said, girl, I don't know, and I don't care.
She said, girl, I don't give a fuck.
Well, he stole my house from me, so.
At the Forbes house, Rick is talking to Stefan, and Rick says, seriously, I'm fine with it. It is, however, nice of Stefan to go and talk to Rick about this.
Yeah.
Even though I think he is right to do it after they get engaged, because it's really, like, I don't want it to be construed that he's asking Rick for permission, but yeah. It is nice that Rick hears it from them rather than like Instagram. I don't know what their Instagram habits are, but
yeah. I mean, I'm sure Caroline's posting it.
Oh yeah, she's posting.
Maybe she hid the post from Rick just in case.
Stefan says, yeah, Caroline said you were fine with it, but like, I just wanted to talk to you myself. That's all. Rick says, well, I got two unused flower girl dresses. I'll sell you cheap. Sell?
Especially because it's going to be the same flower girls.
Yeah, they're for your daughters. I'm not buying them off of you to give them back to you. Fuck you. Rick says, come on, man. Don't make me work this hard to show you I'm fine with it, really. And then Georgie appears and says, yeah, he's fine with it. We're basically dating.
I forgot her name was Georgie already. What a dumb name.
What did you think her name was?
I forgot. I honestly didn't remember. And I didn't really care.
You said intern.
Annoying one.
Intern with the tattoo.
Intern who went to hell, deservedly.
Mindy from Drake and Josh.
Yeah.
Rick says, hey, why don't you guys go get set up in the office, okay? And I think Dorian's in the background, but they don't show enough of him to be sure.
I'm pretty sure it's him.
Yeah. So they go to set up in the office. And Rick says, the nanny had the morning off, so I had to work from home. They said, we're not paying Celine this week.
Hang out at home for this episode. We got to bring you back when we kill you. Because you're a nanny. Be serious.
Rick says, I've got them digging through miles of arcane siren research. Stefan says, yeah, and what do they think they're doing? And Rick says, earning extra credit, helping me with an urgent publishing deadline.
Neither of them are buying that.
Yeah. Stefan says, and how's that deadline coming along? You know, Caroline says you might have figured out how the armory captured the siren in the first place. And Rick says, well, if by figured out you mean wild speculation based on centuries-old circumstantial evidence, I think they may have used this. It's the artifact Georgie found last week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll learn more about what that is later. Mm-hmm. Stefan says, would it be going out on a limb to say we stab her with it?
I mean, someone had to ask.
I mean, that is like, yeah, probably. Most of the weapons we've had in this show, it's like stab someone with this special thing. So it's not a crazy assumption.
And like the two prongs aren't sharp, but like, it's not like you couldn't stab her.
Yeah, with the right amount of strength.
Yeah.
Rick says, yeah, possibly. We're dealing with something that has the power of mind control. So if we get too close to her and we're wrong, then we're hers.
Could you imagine if they got there and stabbed her and she was like, oh, you idiots.
You fools. It's a tuning fork. I will say, though, now that you know she's a siren, I think we all need to invest in some wax for our ears.
Oh, yeah.
Just in general, get earplugs whenever you have to see her. We go over to the wedding dress store. Death of a Bachelor by Panic at the Disco is playing. A Sign of the Times, baby.
Yeah.
So Caroline is talking to the sales girl and says, let's talk silhouettes. Focus on A-lines and sheaths. I'm open to trumpets, but easy on the volume. And the sales girl says, less dress, more bride. And Caroline says, exactly. Thank you. So the girl says, be right back. Number one, love that Caroline knows what she wants. Number two, love A-lines for her. I think that fits for her character.
Yeah, character accurate. I think it's tempting to try to make her do ball gown, but she's more classic than that.
Yeah, I think she probably likes the concept of a ball gown, but knows realistically that she wants a dress that she's wearing, not that's wearing her, and an A-line's going to be better for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's right to avoid trumpets. I just find trumpets...
ugly. You can say it.
Ugly. Yeah, I'll say ugly, I guess.
I'll say it.
I was trying to think of another word. So I just think, even when they look good on someone, I'm left thinking, why is the skirt all the way down there?
There's something about them that's, it's like a child's drawing of an evening gown.
I think it might be because it's a really popular like Barbie silhouette, for at least the Barbies that come to mind when I think of them.
I agree with that.
Caroline says, okay, now we can get to work on finding you the perfect maid of honor dress. And Bonnie says, oh my God, I'd be honored to be your maid of honor. And not just because my main competition is going to be in a coma till I die.
You know what? It's good to say it. Get it out there.
She's like, I know I'm your only choice, but I do appreciate being chosen anyway. And yeah. I mean, honestly, knowing Caroline, she probably would have made them co-maids of honor if they were both here.
Because they both bring a particular set of skills to a wedding.
Exactly. Caroline is going to be like really organized the day of, and Bonnie's going to be like a real emotional, like morale support the day of.
And Elena's there to bring the fun.
Yes.
Elena's there to make sure the champagne stays full.
Elena's also going to be like a compassionate shoulder. One thing about Elena that she'll do it the day of a wedding, she's going to make sure that the photographer gets every picture. She's going to have every like picture set up. She's going to be like, oh, I remember you said you really wanted like this to happen. She's mm-hmm. going to have the more like nebulous things that a planner wouldn't do, but more like personal things.
Well, and Elena, one thing about her, she does, you know, pull focus a lot of the time, but on a wedding, she knows how to dial that back.
Yeah.
She knows how to say, it's not about me. I'm back here.
And Elena would be very good at being like, let's take a moment away from the party to just sit outside together, get some fresh air and reflect.
Yeah, she'd send her and Stefan alone for like dinner or something.
She's good for all that. So they each have their own skill sets as maids of honor and as brides.
Mm-hmm.
Caroline says, good, because I'm going to do everything in my bridal power to make sure you and Enzo live happily ever after. I've got killer aim and no qualms about rigging the bouquet toss. Ready? Catch. And she throws the bouquet. But Damon Vampire runs in and catches it.
I'm not liking that omen. I'm not liking it.
What do you mean by that?
You know, I'm nervous about Enzo dying.
You're always nervous about Enzo dying.
I've been nervous about Enzo dying since I met him. And he did die the one time.
Were you nervous about him dying this week?
A little bit. I was nervous, but I was holding on to hope that he'd be here longer than 3 episodes.
You weren't that nervous.
I wasn't that nervous, but I was worried.
Yeah. Caroline says, Damon, what are you doing? And then we can see that he's already killed the sales girl. It's like, hey.
Hey, she was good. She was doing a good job.
Caroline says, Bonnie, run. Bonnie does run. Caroline Vampire runs at Damon. Damon grabs Caroline's throat. And Damon says, looks like little brother's getting married. Consider this my RSVP. And he tosses Caroline into the dresses.
She said, when did you see an invite?
Yeah. She also said, joke's on you. You threw me into the ball gowns. I don't even want these.
Yeah, these are the ones I specifically asked her to avoid. So thanks.
Yeah. Damon says, Bonnie, I can hear your broken little heart beating. Poor Bon Bon, literally always the bridesmaid, never the bride. What do you mean literally? You haven't been to that many weddings.
Yeah, she's only been the bridesmaid like...
She was a bridesmaid in Joe's wedding.
Oh yeah, it was weird, but she did it. So it's really only 2 weddings.
Yeah. And Elena would have been a bridesmaid in both too.
And Bonnie has a man. Unlike you, Damon, where's your girlfriend? When's your wedding, bitch?
Yeah, that's big talk from a guy whose girlfriend is in a coma.
Uh-huh.
And who you might not even remember, BTW. Bonnie hops out from behind the dresses and stabs his hand with a hanger. Slay. And then Caroline runs and she stakes Damon in the stomach with like a broken, you know, a pole that they use for hanging. You get it.
From the closets.
Yes. And so she stabs him in the stomach against the wall and into an armoire. So he's like stuck with the wooden pole into like the wall.
And she twists it quite a few times. She said, no, I'm going to make sure this one hurts, bitch.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going right for your spine. And then she grabs Bonnie and they run. A little bit later, Enzo and Sybil have arrived at the bridal shop and Enzo pulls the pole out. Sybil is looking at a wedding dress in the mirror. girl, ain't nobody want you.
Yeah, talk about who do you think you're marrying. I mean, be serious.
Yeah. Sybil says, so you got beat up by a girl? And Damon says, two girls, if we're counting.
He said, and trust me, Caroline's strong as hell.
Yeah, you haven't met her. She's a fighter.
He said, I've been beat up by her before, and I have earned it every time.
Yeah. Enzo is looking at the pole they used to stab him with, and he smiles. And Sybil says, what's so funny? And Enzo says, I'm just admiring the lady's craftsmanship. And Sybil says, no, that look tells me that you know something I should know, but you don't want me to know. And you know how I feel about secrets.
It's like, girl, didn't you know that already?
Yeah, it's like, girl, you just said a sentence that is just reiterates this things you've been saying. Like, I don't know what you want to get from this.
Yeah, that sentence, that's going to get Enzo to tell you. You finally cracked the code.
So she tries to get in Enzo's head again, but fails. And Sybil says, looks like someone forgot to mention that you and Bonnie have quite the history. No wonder your heart wasn't in it. We'll see what we can do about that. Sybil tries to get into Damon's head, and no wall up there. He lets her see every memory he has with Bonnie, by the way.
You don't even want to put a gate? I mean, at least obscure it a little bit.
Enzo's like, come on, man.
Enzo's like, can you at least, like, throw one fake memory in there? Like, I can't be the only one putting the work in.
We see a bunch of Damon and Bonnie memories from previous seasons when they were fighting in, like, the early seasons when they were kind of at each other's throats. And Sybil says, wow, that's a lot of bad blood between you two. What am I missing? And then she sees the memory of them holding hands at the end of season 5 when they're about to go, you know, into the prison world. Mm-hmm. But we don't know that at the time. And she says, oh, wait, there it is. Got it. And then we see the rest of that scene in season 5. And Sybil replaces Bonnie with herself in that memory.
Her favorite thing to do.
And in real life, she says, much better. Now we have work to do.
That would have gone way faster if you just did it and didn't talk so much.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be like, ooh, where's the good memory? Just find it.
Yeah, you don't need to narrate what you're doing. We go over to the Salvador house. Bonnie and Caroline are on the phone with Stefan. And Bonnie says, Stefan, if Damon wants me dead, then I'm dead. And Stefan says, why is he coming after you? That makes no sense. And Caroline says, none of it makes sense. Okay, but we're going to need weapons, lots of them. The throne is empty. And Stefan says, oh, yeah, sorry, I was childproofing. But the crossbows are still in the library. Listen, I'm going to try to track Damon. And with any luck, the drone will lead us back to the queen. And Caroline says, and when you find her? And Stefan says, Rick's still working on that part. Stefan is at the Forbes house and he says to Rick, hey, your deadline just got moved up. You don't have days, you have hours. And Georgie said, what's your job?
Georgie said, who are you? Because I thought Rick was about as sexy as they come, professor-wise. What's your deal?
At the Salvador house, Caroline and Bonnie are grabbing weapons. And Caroline says, hey, do you think we can get away with not inviting Damon to the wedding, even if we do save him? She said, I hate him.
She said, I just have to ask, even though, no.
Bonnie says, well, he's going to be your brother-in-law and likely Stefan's best man, so sorry. And Caroline says, fine, but he's not sitting at the head table. Where is all the ammo? We go to Stefan's car. Stefan gets a call from Damon, and Stefan says, calling me from your own phone. Gutsy. What makes you think I won't use it to track you down? And Damon says, no need. I'm at the high school. And Stefan says, well, why would you tell me that? And Damon says, because I'm going to need a favor, little bro. Stefan says, yeah, what would that be? Damon says, whatever desire you have to save me, I kind of need that right now.
And it's like, okay, good. Damon still wants to be saved.
It's like, woohoo, things are looking good. He gets fighting. Oh, if only.
But now he's only fighting Enzo, so it's like, well, that's useless.
We go over to the Salvador house, and Caroline says, you know, I'm starting to consider a destination wedding, because try finding a Mystic Falls venue that hasn't been the site of a horrible atrocity. And that's fair.
Yeah, can't blame her for that.
Sybil is in the living room as the girls are walking by and says, hi, Bonnie. I'm Sybil. So glad to finally meet you. Bonnie said, feelings not mutual. No one invited you here. No one wants to talk to you.
This is my theme throughout this whole scene. I'd be such a bitch to her. I'd be like, oh, are you the siren? I thought sirens would be pretty.
Yeah, it's too easy. Again, emotional manipulation is going to be the name of the game every single time. We should all be meaner.
Yeah.
Sybil flips through Caroline's wedding scrapbook and says, this is really nice work. Caroline, is it? I'm not sure about writing it on a unicorn, but I love this charmeuse and the tiara design is exquisite. And Caroline says, yeah, well, I made that in 6th grade, so congratulations. You have the fashion sense of an 11-year-old. Ooh, cooked her.
Now that's it, bitch. That is the stuff.
Sybil doesn't even respond. She says, ooh, they got me there. She says, I just want to know, where's Bonnie's? And Bonnie says, yeah, scrapbooking's not really my thing. What do you want? And Sybil says, simple. I want to know what makes you so special. What is it about you that has Enzo and Damon wrapped around those flawlessly manicured little fingers?
And Bonnie said, fuck if I know. Look at me. Start there.
Yeah, first of all, I'm super hot. I'm really nice. I'm funny. I'm interesting. And I save my friends. Like, again, it's like the answer here, Sybil, unfortunately, is like they've gotten to know her and they like her.
Yeah, I've known Damon like 8 years and I hated him for a while. And then he had to prove himself. He doesn't really like when people like him right away. It's a bit of a red flag because he knows that's weird.
Yeah.
He knows that doesn't make any damn sense.
Exactly. Sybil says, I mean, I get Enzo. The accent, the star-crossed witch vampire thing. No, it's the Damon of it all that has me so stumped. Did you guys ever, you know, she's like, did you hook up?
Mm-hmm. Julie Plex said, I want to make it damn clear.
Julie Plex said, and they never will. Bonnie says, no, we did not. And Sybil says, really? All that time alone in a prison world? Same day on repeat? You must have done something to break up the brain-numbing monotony. Bonnie says, no. Actually, he got out, like, way before me.
Yeah, I was actually truly alone for the majority of it. And we also had this other dude we were dealing with.
Yeah, you know what I did to break up the brain-numbing monotony? Attempt suicide. So I wasn't really thinking like, ooh, who am I gonna have sex with here? I wanted to die.
Yeah, I wasn't in the mood.
Yeah.
I was busy getting kidnapped on Thanksgiving.
And most of what we did when me and Damon were there was go to the store and make pancakes and drink bourbon. Sybil says, seriously, I mean, look, you're gorgeous. I can admit that. I'm not blind. And neither is Damon, who, in case you haven't noticed, ladies, is scorching. I mean, you can't spell Damon without damn. When did you think of that and how long have you been trying to use it?
Yeah. And also, Bonnie's like, I know I'm hot. I'm aware Damon's hot.
But Bonnie and Kellen are like, I don't know if you've spoken to Damon at length. His mental issues far outweigh his hotness. Like, there's a lot going on there that his hotness cannot compensate for.
We know him too well to see that anymore. Caroline's like, I just said I didn't want to invite him to my wedding. Like, do you know how much I have to not like him to say that? Please.
Sybil says, strictly platonic. Really? Good for you. That doesn't explain how you inspire so much devotion in two men who are supposed to be completely devoted to me. Well, maybe you're a shit singer.
And it's like, Sybil, I don't know why you're continuing this conversation. What exactly are you getting out of this?
Yeah, you're not getting an answer.
Conversation done. Start heading to the school so you don't miss the fight that you planned.
You almost do, by the way.
Yeah, you missed the beginning.
Yeah. Sybil says, so why don't you sit down and we'll have a little hurt to hurt. I can make you, but it's excruciatingly painful and it'll mess up your hair. Like, oh, so my hair's going to look like yours?
Exactly.
Whack her a few times. We go over to the Forbes house. Georgie says, you know, there's nothing in the historical records about a weapon like this. And Rick says, please tell me there's a butt. And Georgie says, but I have a theory. Okay, so assuming that the symbol etched into it has a connection to hell, she shows her tattoo again.
She's like, did you forget?
She says, what's the first name you think of when you think of hell? The devil. And what's the most common visual representation of the devil? And Rick says, man in a red suit, pointy tail, with a pitchfork. Georgie says, ding, ding, ding. Okay, in the medieval tradition, the pitchfork symbolized separation of the wheat from the chaff, which was obviously a metaphor for good souls going to heaven and garbage souls going to the big fiery basement. Rick says, well, shouldn't it have three tines? And Georgie says, not in 2200 BC, when it was forged. The soil around the Mediterranean was rocky, so their pitchforks only had two.
It's like, okay, cool, you did pay off today.
Yeah, this theory does work. Unfortunately, it is wrong, but I see where she got there. Rick says, well, that's all very interesting, but that doesn't tell us anything about its connections to sirens or how we'd use it. And Georgie says, we? How would we use it? Like, this is real, as in some sort of magical weapon? Yeah, Rick, what you should have said, like, how they might have used it.
Yeah. Also, just the whole, we're on a publishing deadline, but we still don't know what this weapon does. How would you be writing? I don't want to get in the academia space, but I'm sorry.
We have to ask. Rick says, you know what I mean. And Georgie says, no, actually, I don't. Are you sure this is for a book? Because you're treating it like lives are at stake. And Rick says, worse. Tenure. Keep digging.
Rick, your ass is not getting tenured. Please.
He tried so hard. We laugh. We go over to the high school. Damon is sitting outside and he breaks a bat in half. Where'd he get this bat? Who cares? Stefan approaches and says, look, if this is all some sort of an elaborate trap, we might as well skip to the part where you spring it. And Damon says, no trap, elaborate or otherwise, I just need your help. And Stefan says, with what? And Damon says, I can't tell you. I mean, I literally can't tell you. I can't physically make myself form the words. That's the thing about Sybil. She's not big on free will. She kind of lowjacked my brain. Whenever I try to form the words to tell you what's going on, it just comes out applesauce penguin.
Maybe you should work a little harder. I hate to say that.
This is a trope I hate on TV shows, and this is my own personal, like, pet peeve. I hate using, like, two random words, and it's like, the comedy is that they're weird words. Shut up. Shut up, applesauce penguin. Shut up. The trope in general is, like, using a random word for comedy and then making it, like, an emotionally valuable thing.
Yeah.
Which Julie Plec loves to do because she does this on Legacies, too. I just hate this trope of, like, using random words and, like, isn't it funny that I just picked two random words?
And it's like, it's really not.
It's like hero hair, too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what does that mean? At least this, she's not trying to pretend it means something. Unlike hero hair.
Yeah.
Stefan says, well, if you can't tell me how to save you, then I'm at a loss because I'm running out of ways to pull you back from the brink. And Damon says, it sounds suspiciously like someone's given up. Well, you're not really doing anything to help, Damon.
Damon, we can only do so much for you. You're the one who has to fight the mind control.
Which I get is harder than, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm not expecting him to be perfect at it, but I'm expecting him to, you know, try.
I'm not saying that, like, compulsion is easy to fight, obviously. And this is not just compulsion, obviously. But Stefan's fought compulsion before. Enzo's fighting this now.
Bill Forbes did it.
Yeah, Bill Forbes famously. It's like, Damon, how are you the only one who can't do that?
And look, I'm as big an Enzo stan as any Enzo stan. Perhaps bigger. But Damon, don't you feel embarrassed that, like, Enzo is showing you up right now?
Yeah, shouldn't the competition light a fire under you?
And Enzo, he is tough. He's withstood captivity. He will sit through a lot of torture. But it's like, Damon, if Enzo can do it, I know you're capable of it.
Yeah. Stefan says, I've not given up yet, but I'm not about to let Elena wake up to find out you murdered her best friend.
Yeah, no.
I mean, when Elena wakes up, Bonnie's going to be dead anyway, so.
But ideally, she wouldn't have been murdered.
Least of all by Damon.
Yeah, because especially if Elena were to wake up right now, I mean, maybe it would help Damon, maybe it wouldn't.
Who knows? Damon says, this isn't for Bonnie, the stake he made. And Stefan says, then who's it for?
Stefan's like, can you get to the point?
Damon opens his trunk and Enzo is in there. And it's like, okay, well.
It's like, well, that's not necessary.
We go over to the South Shore house. Sybil pours herself a bourbon and says, so Bonnie, what's your secret? What did Damon and Enzo see in you? And Bonnie says, again, I have to reiterate, I have no idea.
Bonnie said, if I had an answer, first of all, I wouldn't tell you. But if I haven't told you by now, what makes you think asking again is going to get there?
Yeah. Sybil says, come on, Bonnie, surely you can think of something. And Caroline says, whatever you're trying to do, it's not going to work. You're not going to get what you want. Something you should know about Bonnie is that she's fiercely loyal and would do anything for the people she loves. And Sybil says, really? It's like, okay, well, I didn't want you to take that as anything.
I get the impulse, Caroline. You gave the wrong thing, but I can't blame you for it because I think you're just pissed and I'd be pissed too.
Yeah. Sybil says, now that's something we can work with. So you would do anything for Damon and Enzo? Like anything, anything? I mean, how far would you really go? What if you had to choose between them? And, you know, to Bonnie and Caroline's credit, neither of them move.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Like, what if I had to choose between them?
I simply wouldn't.
Yeah, what if I had to choose between Coke and Pepsi? Who cares?
Like, girl, do you think you're the first one to try this?
Yeah.
Also, I just said I'd do anything for them. So what makes you think I would, you know, let one die for another one? Come on now.
Sybil says, here's the thing, ladies. I need two loyal soldiers. And these two can't seem to cut loose from their ties to the past. It's working my last nerve. So I realized I really only need one of them. So do you need two?
Like, do you need two or do you not need two? And also, if you need one, like, go find a better one.
If these two aren't working, find two other ones.
Yeah.
You can still kill these people and send them to hell if you want, but it just feels like a waste of your time.
Yeah.
She says, I only need one of them. The other will die and live an eternity of darkness and pain. So Bonnie gets to choose. And Caroline says, well, you're crazy. So jot that down.
And Caroline says, pass. I think she's going to also be passing on that.
Sybil says, no, I'm just very old, very set in my ways, and very annoyed. So choose. And Bonnie says, okay, I get it. You're jealous. And she obviously is.
I mean, she clocked her bad, and Sybil knows it.
Bonnie says, you see a love you didn't have to siren someone into, a love that isn't all about you, and you're threatened. So naturally, you have to destroy it in the most sadistic game you can imagine. Forget it, I'm not playing.
Yeah, she's like, no, I'm just not going to be doing that.
Yeah, it's like, I actually don't think I will choose, but thank you for bringing that to my door. Of course, Sybil already has a backup plan to make her choose. So Sybil says, you're no fun. You know what was fun? Ancient Rome. The Colosseum, gladiators, sweaty, oiled up men hurling themselves at each other. So hot. You'll see what I mean soon enough. In exactly 12 minutes, Damon and Enzo will fight to the death. We can see Damon and Enzo preparing for this fight in some like school storeroom, and Stefan is there. Sybil says they don't have a choice. I've willed it so. One will lose. So if you're not going to choose, then I guess we'll just let the boys settle it amongst themselves.
Like, okay, I guess that's what we'll do.
Bonnie says, I guess we will.
I don't want to pick, so I guess I'll just figure it out after.
Mm-hmm. You go over to the Forbes house. Rick is making lunch. He's cutting the crusts off the sandwiches. And he says, okay, I didn't cut them into star shapes like Celine does, but I've got some really cool square shapes for you.
It's a cookie cutter, Rick.
Come on.
I look alive.
Josie and Lizzie are fighting over the tuning fork. And they're each saying, I had it first. I had it first.
These two be fighting.
Twins. Rick says, girls. Josie steps away from it, and only Lizzie is holding it. And so Rick says, Lizzie, put that down. And Lizzie says, but Daddy, I had it first.
She said, well, I had it first, and looks like we worked this out, so we're good now. I got it back.
You're failing to consider that I had it first, and I have it now. So I'm not going to put it down.
Also, based off the lesson when we opened the armory, it seems like I'm allowed to take things from Josie. That's what I took from that.
Yeah, because I'm three, so...
I didn't understand the siphoning part so much, but I did understand you were right to take your sister's goodie bag. And what is this if not another goodie bag?
Rick says, I said, drop it. Lizzie drops it, and it makes, of course, a noise. The twins cover their ears and scream. Rick grabs it, and the sound stops, and he hugs the girls. And Georgie runs downstairs, and she's like, oh my God, are they okay? Did they cut themselves? I'm so sorry I left that out. I promise, if you choose me as the stepmother, I will be better.
She said, yeah, sorry I put this on the coffee table, because even if we don't know what it is, we know it's an ancient artifact, so I probably should have considered the toddlers.
Yes. Rick says, it's okay, you were right about that being a pitchfork. Literally, emphasis on pitch, it's a tuning fork. Which I will say, you did say.
Did I say it? I honestly forgot what I guessed for this.
Well, you said a couple things like right in a row, and you did say, like, maybe it's a tuning fork.
Work.
You clocked this artifact's T so... severely.
I was watching this and I was like, I cannot for the life of me remember what I guessed. So I was watching this, I was like, no idea if I got this.
You did guess it. I do remember.
Work. Because I was thinking when I saw it, I was like, oh, tuning fork, siren. Oh, I should have guessed that.
You didn't like conclusively say like, oh, this is a tuning fork, but it was one of your guesses.
I brought it up. Okay, that's all that I need.
So we'll count it.
That's more than I usually get.
I know. You said like, it could be a tuning fork. I went, oh.
You said, oh.
We go out to Bonnie's car. Bonnie is driving. Caroline is sitting shotgun and Sybil's in the back seat. There's like a beeping sound. And Sybil says, why does the car keep making that noise? Bonnie says, it's reminding you to put your seatbelt on. And Sybil says, well, you can remind it I'm immortal.
It's like, oh yeah, it takes feedback. Thanks.
Yeah. Caroline says, and this is how you choose to spend that gift? You just escaped over 200 years of captivity. Why aren't you on a beach in Saint-Tropez sirening Channing Tatum to give you a foot massage? Fair question from Caroline.
You know, someone has to ask it. It's the same question we were asking Raina. It's like, why don't you just not do this?
Yeah, it's only making you unhappy.
It doesn't seem fun for you.
Although it does seem that Sybil may report to someone. So maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not going to tell them that. While Caroline is, you know, verbally assaulting Sybil as she should, she is sending a text to Stefan to tell him what's going on.
And Sybil is too stupid to guess that because she doesn't really know how phones work.
Bonnie says, hey, no offense, you gotta admit, this seems a little small for a mythological creature of your stature. And that's fair.
She's like, hey, why don't you leave us alone and go deal with someone more important?
You know there are, like, original vampires out there.
Yeah. Not to keep sending our villains to them, but I mean, they're a way bigger concern than us.
Yeah. Sybil says, that's only because you don't know what awesomeness awaits you. Now step on it, we don't want to miss round one.
And Bonnie said, okay. Bitch.
We go over to the school. Stefan reads his text from Caroline and he says, seriously, that's what this is about? you two fight each other to the death.
He's like, I understand you couldn't say that, but could you not like hint at it more? Also, are you able to write it down or text me?
Come on. Damon says, well, I don't know about the each other part. That's why I brought you along as my second. And Stefan says, so you don't want me to help you fight Sybil. You actually want me to help you fight Enzo.
Stefan said, I don't want to do that.
Enzo says, and hardly a fair fight at that. And Damon says, hey, man, nowhere in Sybil's fine print did it say anything about no backup. And it's not my fault. You don't have any friends to stand up for you. You know, I hate to say this, Damon. In many ways, it is. If you had not left him to die in a fire, he would have had more time to make friends.
And also, Damon, I know Stefan is also your friend, but this is mostly brother vibes, okay? There's a reason you didn't call Rick.
And, you know, Damon, I do get it. Like, you're right. Sybil didn't say you couldn't have backup, and this is a smart move if you're fighting to the death to call in a friend. But that doesn't make it not uncool.
Yeah, I mean, Enzo is your friend. Do you really want him to die? I mean, I guess, sure.
Beats the alternative.
Yeah.
Enzo says, oh, yes. How naive of me to think you were my friend. And Damon says, I tried to be your friend, Enzo. Me when I lie.
Like, barely.
You've been focused on a lot of other shit, and I'm not saying you haven't always been right to, but it's like, as soon as Enzo came out, you really didn't hang out with him at all.
Yeah, and he needed it.
But Damon says, you know, I tried to convince you to give yourself over to Sybil. And Stefan says, hey, quick question. If Enzo can fight this, why can't you, Damon?
Thank you, Stefan.
Someone has to say it.
He's like, maybe this is dumb and you guys have already discussed this, but I do feel like I have to bring this up because why is Enzo gagging you?
Damon says, because it's pointless. We are in this mess because he refuses to accept that. But if he'd just sign over his pink slip to Sybil, we wouldn't be here. And Stefan says, you can't kill Enzo. Bonnie will never forgive you. And Enzo says, you know, don't bother, mate. She's been messing around in the recesses of his brain, toying with the sane places in his subconscious. Lord only knows the damage she's done. We go out to Bonnie's car, and Sybil says, oh my God, 5 minutes till the fight. This is so exciting. Hey, what happened to all that sassy back talk? Oh, right. It's probably easier to talk tough when you had your magic to back it up. What's wrong? Is somebody feeling powerless right now?
Unfortunately, she is gagging a bit.
Bonnie unfortunately does feel powerless and is upset that her magic's not back.
Yeah.
Sybil says, but here's the ray of sunshine. You actually have all the power. Just say the word and you can decide who gets to live and who gets to spend the rest of eternity in never-ending emotional torment. You guys know about that, right? They're homicidal monsters. They have done the worst things imaginable. Where do you think they're going to end up? Some cloud-filled afterlife? No. They're going to the other place where all they will know is loneliness and despair forever and ever and ever.
You know, it's fair to bring up.
It's not fun to think about, particularly because, I mean, the other side has been gone.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side was not by any means like a super positive afterlife experience, but it wasn't hell. So I think they all were kind of under the impression that like when they died, they were going to go to like an other side type area or peace.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of scary to hear that for them and all their loved ones.
Yeah. Because they know that, you know, Damon particularly, his odds aren't looking great to miss hell.
Well, and I mean, Stefan too.
Yeah, even Caroline.
Yeah, I mean, Caroline's killed a guy.
She killed 12 people.
That's so true. She killed those 12 witches.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the carnival guy.
Plus some people when she had her humanity off.
Exactly. So,
but under 50. So, you know, what's the cutoff? What's evil?
Yeah. How many people are you allowed to kill? I imagine...
I think zero for a human, but for a vampire, I have to imagine they give him a little handicap, just to be fair.
Maybe it's how many lifetimes you have. Like, do you think every human gets one freebie? So every human life you live, do you get your freebie cashed in?
Maybe. The other thing I'll say, look, just because Sybil says there's a hell doesn't mean there's a hell. Obviously, she would say this shit.
It is, again, a little bit consider the source. Like, of course, Sybil wants you to believe that if you don't obey her, you're going to hell. If there were no consequences for not obeying her, why would she tell you that?
Yeah.
She wants you to obey her.
Yeah, if she wants you to obey her, she's going to make hell pretty scary. We know she's faking voices, so why not fake visions? She's faking visions in Damon's head right now.
That's true, from his memories. Do you think she is lying? Do you think, like, she made up how bad hell is and that they're going there? Or do you think they are going to hell?
You know, I think their odds of going to hell are good. I don't think they will, because that would be depressing. But I do think she's certainly enhancing what hell is. Like, I'm not saying she's like completely making it up, but I think there could very well be a rule that if you're supernatural, there's not a heaven hell. You just go to one place.
And what would that place be?
Peace. Maybe it was the other side as like a holding ground. And that was like, well, this is all we can do with hell because they don't go to hell. Only humans go to hell.
That sucks that humans go to hell, but supernatural people don't.
Life's not fair. What can I say?
Do you think Liz Forbes is in hell?
No. Well, I think it was a toss up, but I don't think she ended up there. I do think it was a discussion, though.
Jeremy didn't die when she shot him, so that's a plus.
Well, he did, and then they brought him back to life. But, you know, it worked out.
All's well that ends well. We go over to the school. Damon says, you know, you two, you forget that I don't care about anything anymore. I'm just trying to stay alive. You and I both know what awaits us if we don't. In the car, Sybil says, what about you, Caroline? What do you think Bonnie should do? And she grabs Caroline's head to read her mind unexpectedly. So she does successfully read her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And Sybil says, oh, you think Stefan is going to swoop in and save Bonnie from having to make such an untenable choice? That's putting a lot of faith in your fiance. And I just got to say, thank God that was what Caroline was thinking.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine if Caroline was thinking like, honestly, I don't really give a fuck either way.
Well, imagine if she was thinking like, oh, I hope Bonnie picks Enzo. Then I don't have to invite Damon to the wedding.
Or even worse, like imagine like if she was thinking, I hope Bonnie picks Damon because Stefan will be mad if Damon dies. So I hope Enzo dies.
And also, I know this is like, Stefan doesn't fully succeed in this necessarily, but like Caroline is right. He did swoop in to help.
Yeah.
That faith was well earned.
At the very least, he delayed the fight a little bit because if this fight had gone faster, Enzo might have been dead by the time Bonnie even got there.
Yeah.
So Stefan did save the day. We go over to the school. Stefan says, hey, Enzo, you need to run. And Enzo says, yeah, I don't have enough free will left in the tank for that. So that's not what I'm going to do.
He said, sorry, no can do.
And Damon says, Stefan, I'll bring you here to be Switzerland.
And Stefan's like, well, I don't know exactly what you thought I was going to do when I got here.
Stefan said, I couldn't have made it more clear. I'm anti-Sybil. I'm not anti either one of you. He's like, me and Enzo have, for the most part, worked out our shit. We go to the car. Sybil says, when Damon and Enzo start tearing each other apart, do you really think Stefan is going to let Enzo kill his brother? No, he's going to choose Damon. And it's like, yeah, she's right.
I mean, she did get her there. And that's not a negative of Stefan. He's going to pick his brother.
Yeah, exactly. At the school, Damon says, I brought you here because you are my brother. When the clock strikes 3, I'm counting on you to remember that. We go out to the car and Sybil says, poor Enzo. Nobody's choosing him. Yeah, he's used to it, girl.
I mean, what else is new?
She says, you're not even choosing him, Bonnie. Are you just going to sit there and allow Enzo to die? Credit to Sybil, she found the right scab to pick at here.
Yeah.
Took her a little bit of time, but she got there.
She had to do it in a roundabout way, of course, because why get right to it? And Bonnie said, I've had enough of you.
Yeah, Bonnie says, no. And then she slams the brakes and Sybil flies out the front windshield and just falls to the street. And you know what? Yeah, that's a valuable lesson about seatbelts.
Guess that beeping was for a reason, huh? And that's what I said as soon as we saw Sybil wasn't wearing a seatbelt. I was like, slam on those brakes.
Yeah, get her out of there.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm crashing this car.
Literally.
Bye.
Caroline says, are you okay? And Bonnie says, yeah. And Caroline says, she's not dead. And Bonnie says, at least now she has to walk. And we don't see Bonnie run over Sybil's body, but I choose to believe she did.
Yeah, I bet she did. I would.
Yeah.
You know, it might not do a ton of damage, but it'll feel good.
Yeah. We go to the school and the clock hits 3 and we see the fighting start in the reflection of the clock. Kind of a serve shot.
It's a good one.
Damon and Enzo fight. Stefan is really trying to break them up and he's like delaying them, but he's not stopping them by any means.
Yeah, he's basically just pushing them away from each other, but they keep coming back.
And he keeps pushing them. They keep tossing him aside. And Stefan says, hey, I just want to make it clear. I'm not letting you two kill each other. And Enzo says, you think I want this? He's not going to stop Stefan, but I will put him down if I have to. And if you get in my way, I'll kill you too. And it's like, oh, that doesn't sound great.
And Stefan said, well, hey, that is my brother.
Yeah. Stefan says, I get why you're doing that, but unfortunately it is my brother. Like, you know what side I'm going to pick. I mean, and Enzo knows what side Stefan's going to pick when push comes to shove, which is why Enzo's continuing to fight.
Yeah. Because he's like, Stefan's here? Oh, fuck me.
Yeah. In the road, Sybil comes to. She picks some glass out of her chest. She gets up. There's a car approaching. She, like, hums her little siren song and, like, slowly and sultrily walks to the car.
Takes her jacket off, puts the spaghetti straps down on the shoulders. It's a classic move.
It's like, girl, you're already humming. You don't need to take the jacket off.
Yeah, the singing would do enough.
We go back to Bonnie's car. Bonnie and Caroline are riding in silence, and Caroline says, "We'll make it in time." Well, it's already past 3. How far is the fucking school?
Yeah, it's a small town. Hit the gas.
Bonnie says, "No, Sybil's right. Stefan's gonna protect Damon no matter what. I can't help him if I have no power." She's right. There's no one who can fight for him.
Bonnie's like, "Unfortunately, I think I know what I have to do."
Yeah, Bonnie's like, "Unfortunately, I do think Sybil made a point.
She did kind of get me."
And Caroline is clearly, like, hurt to hear this, but also she knows it's right.
Mm-hmm.
At the Forbes house, Rick is talking to Georgie. He says, "Okay, kids are at the neighbors. Celine should be here in half an hour. Tell her there's something I have to take care of." And Georgie says, "Yeah, is there a giant piano out of tune somewhere?"
And he said, "It's not funny."
And she says, "You know, Rick, I could actually help you a lot better with your book, or whatever that's code for, if you just told me what's really going on." And Rick says, sarcastically, "You're right. I'm actually taking this to go do battle with a mythical creature from the ancient world. Wish me luck." And he goes. Georgie is like, "I hear that sarcasm, but I'm going to follow you anyway."
"I think you're joking, but I have my own car and the kids aren't here, so I will be following. I'm very curious about this."
"You should expect that of me."
"Yeah, if you think I'm not following, I don't know what you're on."
Yeah. We go back to the school. Damon and Enzo are still fighting. Stefan is still interfering. "Stefan, I need you to snap both of their necks."
"Yeah.
And I understand you got a lot going on. Start with Enzo, then go to Damon."
He was also hoping, I'm sure, that maybe they would not fight immediately when the clock struck 3.
Yeah, he was hoping they could resist it a bit. He's like, "Okay, guess I should have just broken their necks, huh?"
He said, "Well, you guys are no me, huh?"
Yeah. Damon grabs Enzo and reaches for his heart, but then Enzo breaks a shovel and gets ready to stake Damon, stabs him a little bit. And then Damon says, "A little help over here, bro." Stefan knocks Enzo off Damon and gets ready to knock Enzo out with the shovel. But then Caroline grabs the shovel from him and says, "I can't let you do that."
I got the sense that he was about to decapitate Enzo with that shovel.
Oh, maybe.
Classic Stefan move.
That makes more sense than knocking him out.
Yeah.
Stefan says, "Caroline, stay out of this." And Caroline says, "No, actually, I promise Bonnie." And this is a good friend alert for Caroline.
She said, "Look, one of them might die, but I'm going to try really hard to make it not Enzo. I might fail, but I do have to try."
Yeah. And it's good brother alert for Stefan. What can you expect him to do? But then Damon snaps Caroline's neck, obviously, because Caroline has come out as Team Enzo. And Enzo snaps Stefan's neck because Stefan has come out as Team Damon. That's fair. Level the playing field.
Yeah, it's back to Enzo versus Damon. No more backup.
Enzo grabs a saw to fight with. Damon overpowers Enzo and gets his hand into Enzo's chest, gets ready to grab his heart.
And I'm nervous.
Yeah. Then Bonnie finally arrives and Bonnie says, "Hey, Damon, no, please fight through this. I know you can. He's your friend. Stop."
She said, "Hey, based off what Sybil said, maybe I do have power over you. So let's try it out.
Let's try to cash some of that in." Sybil enters and says, "He can't stop. The only one that can stop him is you. Choose." And Bonnie says, "Damon, don't make me do this." Basically saying, like, "I'm going to pick Enzo if you make me."
Yeah, she said, "Please quit it because you're not going to like what I'm about to say."
And Damon says, "Sorry, not sorry, Bonnie." And Bonnie says, "Okay, I choose Enzo."
She said, "Well, if you're going to be a dick about it."
And Damon says, "What?"
Damon is shook by this because people generally choose him in these situations.
But it is just like, Damon, I know that she wants to save you both, but if you're the one who's about to kill Enzo, her priority is the one who's about to be killed.
Yeah.
Not the one with the obvious advantage.
It doesn't do her any good to choose you right now. She wants your hand out of Enzo's chest.
Even if you were on an equal playing field, but let's face it, you're not. She would probably pick Enzo regardless. But if Enzo was in power, she might not commit to it right then.
Yeah.
Sybil says, "Damon, kindly remove your hand without the gentleman's heart in it." And Damon says, "No," and he lets go. Damon says, "No, Bonnie, don't do this to me." And Bonnie says, "Look, I know somewhere deep down, there's still some part of you left. She couldn't have stripped it all away. You're obnoxiously too stubborn to let that happen. I know my friend is in there, and I'm going to have to live with that, but I just can't let him die. So I have to choose Enzo."
She said, "Sorry, I know the whole don't do it, but I said that 2 minutes ago, and you didn't listen to me, so."
Yeah, and I do think she's like, "You know, I know that we could bring you back from this, and I have to live with that because right now there's not another option."
Yeah, she said, "Sorry, I have to make a choice. I made it."
Sybil does like a little fake crying bit and she says, "I'm getting all weepy, so touching, so raw, girl."
She barely even fake cried. Like, she cannot act.
Don't rub it in. Damon says, "I know where I'm going when I die. You can't send me there. I'll fight every one of you." And Sybil says, so Bonnie can't live without Enzo, and clearly Stefan can't live without Damon, but nobody's bothered to ask me what I want. Because nobody gives a fuck about what you want.
Girl, we don't like you.
And we still aren't asking, by the way. So don't even say it.
Yeah, we still didn't ask, and I would actually ask you to not share, because you're already talking too damn much.
She says, you know, you're the only one that's truly committed here, Damon. You're an asset. Enzo's nothing but a burden. So I guess my only real problem is with you, Bonnie. You chose wrong. Which is why I'm going to have Damon kill you. She said, you know what? I know I made this whole facade about, like, Bonnie gets to choose. I actually was going to pick the whole time.
I don't want Enzo's ass because he keeps fighting me.
Hate Sybil as I do, I can't blame her for this. She said, I always wanted to pick Damon. Why would I not continue to pick Damon because Bonnie told me to? Bonnie didn't even tell me how to get people to like me, so I don't owe anything to Bonnie.
She said, one thing about me, I hate Bonnie. And it's out of jealousy, but I do hate her.
And I'll admit it's out of jealousy.
I'll admit it's out of jealousy. I'll admit I hate her. Damon kill her.
Enzo says, what? And Sybil says, Damon kills Bonnie, I'll kill you, and then we can all get on with our lives. Unless you give me what I want. Turn off your humanity, pledge your loyalty to me, then we can all go home happy. Pinky swear. Bonnie says, don't trust her, which is the correct instinct, considering she just reneged on a deal.
Yeah, one thing about her, like, she's not sticking to the plan that she said. She's making it up as she goes. More evidence that she's faking the hell thing, by the way.
And you also have no reason to believe that she's going to stick to this plan you just gave her, which she will end up not doing. Enzo says, sorry, love, you know, I'm not seeing many other options.
It is another case. Enzo, fake it, buddy.
Literally. Bonnie says, Enzo, don't. And Sybil says, yes, Enzo, do. You know you want to. Come on, this is mercy. You've seen what happens when you die. What if your precious Bonnie is due the same fate? Well, she's not, so jot that down. She says, save yourself, save your one true love, do it. Enzo turns to Bonnie and says, Bonnie. And Bonnie says, what are you doing? Enzo says, if anyone can pull me back from the precipice, it's you. I know you can. And Bonnie says, no. And Enzo kisses her and closes his eyes. And Bonnie says, no. And again, as you said, just close them and say, yep, turned it off.
It's off.
Prove it's not.
Yeah. Well, humanity's off. I feel so much lighter. Now you can't get in my brain just because I don't care what's in there.
Yeah. I don't care to let you in.
Yeah.
Enzo opens his eyes and ominous music plays. So we know that, you know, he's turned his humanity off.
Yeah, he isn't lying.
And he steps away from her. And Sybil says, finally. Now, was that so hard? Oh, one last thing. Would you mind if I took back my promise to spare Bonnie's life?
And Bonnie says, of course.
Enzo says, no objections here. And I mean, again, this is fucked up, but it's like, you can, even Bonnie's like, yeah, I expected this to happen, obviously.
And even if Enzo hadn't turned off his humanity, he would have had to be like, you're good. Like,
yeah.
And just be like, get out of here.
Run. Sybil says, you're the best. Bonnie, I'm going to count down from 10. Then I'm going to let Damon finish what he started. Starts her countdown. And she makes it long. She really eats it up. She puts a line between like every number. She says, 10, 9. Enzo, you sure you don't mind if I rip your girlfriend to shreds? And Enzo says, nah, in a very funny way.
Fun line delivery, Michael Mullerky.
Yeah, Michael Mullerky, great stuff. Because I will say, you know, usually when someone turns their humanity off, we have a little bit of time to, like, see them to confirm that it's actually off. They don't give Michael Mullerky a lot of lines to confirm it.
He took what he had.
He literally has no objections here, and then he has no. Michael Mullerky, Emmy, when?
Or Grammy, because he's making music now. Whatever award they want to give him.
Michael Mullerky, EGOT, when?
Literally, I actually think he could do it.
I know you can, Michael.
As much as I love Nina, I don't think she's getting that Grammy. But I do think Michael Mullerky, he can get all those.
Nina could get a Tony, though.
Oh, she could get a Tony.
When are we going to put Nina Dobrev in a fucking Arthur Miller play and get her her goddamn Tony? When are we going to revive A View from the Bridge with Nina Dobrev? She could do it. Or you know what? Do the fucking Cherry Orchard for all I give a fuck.
Sure.
It's not important.
But you just had to say it.
Literally nobody cares except me. Sybil says, 8. So much for your indomitable love. 7. Looks like Enzo's not going to help you. 6. Pretty sure Stefan and Caroline won't be much help either.
And it's like, girl, can you just count? Like, oh my God.
She says, 5, Bonnie, you really should be running now. 4, and then Bonnie runs away. She's like, I can't sit through this countdown anymore. And Sybil's like, thank God I only had so many quips left.
I was running out of things to say.
And at this point, I've established the pattern of number, quip, and now I have no quips.
Bonnie's like, I'm sorry, do you need me for this? Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Outside the school, Bonnie is running to her car. Damon grabs her, and Bonnie says, hey, Damon, stop, please.
Hey, how about you don't kill me? That would be great.
Damon says, you've got one last decision to make, Bonnie. It's multiple choice. Neck snap, heart rip, or just good old-fashioned tear your throat out. Now, while he's saying this line, he backs up into the road.
Like an idiot.
Rookie mistake.
Well, and if I were Bonnie, I'd be like, look, you don't want to kill me right now, because if Elena wakes up and sees this, oh, you're never getting her back.
Yeah, that's what we got to turn it on.
But earnestly, if I have to pick, neck snap. I don't want you to do it, but I do want to set that standard.
Well, and if I'm Bonnie, how long can I think about this decision before he just does something? I'm like, ooh, let me think about that. Can I take a night to sleep on it?
Yeah. Let me just get in my car really quick. I think really well in my car. Actually, can I think while I drive your car? Your car is a great thinking car.
Yeah. But she doesn't have to answer the question because Damon gets hit by a car, and it's who else? Alaric kinging as he do.
And you know, Alaric saw Damon in the road and he said, yeah, I'm going to hit this dude.
He said, too easy.
He didn't hesitate.
Rick gets out of the car with the tuning fork and Sybil approaches and says, hey, I don't know who you are. But, and then Rick hits the tuning fork and it hurts Sybil's ears.
He says, I'm not even going to let you finish talking. And she said, what?
She falls to the ground. Enzo tries to vampire run, but Stefan snaps Enzo's neck. Then we look over across the parking lot where Georgie is watching this from her car.
She's like, did that guy just get his neck snapped?
She said, oh, word? Caroline kicks Sybil, so she like knocks her out. Damon gets up and cracks his bones into place. And Stefan says, hey, good news, Damon. It's over. You're free now.
And we did all have to hope that it was this easy.
Yeah. Damon says, I do wish that were the case, Stefan, honestly, but my work is just getting started. And Stefan says, what work? What does she want with you? And Damon says, applesauce penguin, brother, and gets in the car and drives off.
All love. Did you even try saying it that time? Or were you doing a bit?
And that's why I hate the random words bit.
Not that I think it mattered. Like, I don't think you could have said it, but did you try? Seriously.
Yeah. And Damon drives away. We go over to the armory. Sybil is locked into one of the cells in the basement, making use of the armory.
Let's hope they're soundproof.
Let's. Stefan says, maybe now we'll get some answers. You sure you can handle Enzo? And Bonnie says, yeah, I'll be fine. And Stefan, you know, Stefan knows that Bonnie's not happy with him. But he's also not really up for discussing this right now. And Stefan and Bonnie have been working quite closely together, so this is tough on their relationship.
Yeah, because both of them are like, look, we know why we did what we did. Obviously, we were against each other. Like, it's uncomfortable, but like, I get your side of it.
Like, and thank goodness neither one of us won or lost today, but.
Because we didn't want to.
Yeah. Stefan says, you know, if you need my help getting him to the cabin. And Bonnie says, I'll be fine. Stefan says, okay. And Bonnie says, if it were up to you, you would have picked Damon. And Stefan says, yeah, I don't really know what else to say. Yes.
He said, I mean, why lie? Like, he's my brother. Sorry.
Bonnie says, and you would have done it knowing Enzo was the one fighting Sybil, the one risking his life to help us. And Stefan says, yes, but again, me and Enzo never been tight. Damon, my brother. I'm sorry. It is what it is.
He said, and even Enzo, like, fighting it, it's unclear how well that's going for him, period.
I do think that... this is a simplification because I do think they're right that Enzo is fighting this harder than Damon. But there's a couple things at play here that A, Sybil got to Damon first. Mm-hmm. And B, Enzo walked into the vault knowing what he was walking into. And also Damon had just come out of like a stint in the Phoenix Stone and losing Elena. And, you know, this is kind of Damon's fault, but Enzo is better at withstanding torture because he was doing it longer.
Yeah.
And so I think holding them to the same standard isn't particularly fair. Like, Damon was at a low spot when he got taken. And I do think Damon is trying in his way to fight it, but the more headway Sybil makes, the harder it is to fight. And she's made more headway on Damon.
he's holding his spot, and I still do think his humanity is on. He's better at faking the humanity off than anybody. So that's like a different kind of fight. Like, he's fighting as well as he can, but like, you know, she's frustrated. She's hitting walls with Enzo. She's going to just further her grip into Damon because she knows she can.
He's more fighting to keep his humanity on than he is fighting to be not affected by Sybil.
Yeah.
Whereas Enzo is more fighting to not be affected by Sybil.
Yeah. And his humanity is proud of that.
Yes. And I think it's because Damon knows if his humanity is off, he's going to be harder to bring back without Elena.
Yeah. Well, I think Damon also knows that you have to fake the humanity off to keep the illusion up, because he saw that with Stefan and Klaus. Like, it's just something you kind of have to do.
It lessens the torture.
And Enzo is like, he was being tortured forever and he just fought it most of the time. And he's like, I fought it before, I can fight it again. And so he's just taking a different approach that is hurting him. But, you know, Damon is not giving up. He's working, but it's getting hard for him.
It's two different approaches, because Damon's approach, and he said as much in earlier episodes, was like, if you pretend your humanity's off, she's not going to go looking for people we care about, and then they can't be hurt.
Yeah.
Whereas Enzo is putting up a full wall. So then Sybil knows, unfortunately, if you're putting up a wall, it's because there's something behind it.
Yeah.
Two different approaches.
Mm-hmm.
Neither foolproof, let's say.
Yeah.
But from the outside, of course, Bonnie is going to see Enzo's as better. And I think Bonnie already had other issues with Damon that is coloring her view, obviously.
Well, and particularly, like, she knows that truly she is the only one who's going to fight for Enzo. And so she felt the need to do that. And she feels the need to continue to do that, because she knows, like, no matter what Damon does, people fight for him, particularly Stefan.
Yes.
And so she's kind of like, Damon's covered. Like, I got to go deal with the other one, because no one else is going to take that.
And Enzo is one of the only people who's ever really fought for Bonnie above all else. So she's like, I'm not going to lose this one person who cares the most for me. Everyone else cares for other people.
I'm not going to let him down like this.
Yeah. Bonnie says, let me ask you something. What has Damon done besides give up? And Stefan's like, look, I got my own shit with Damon.
He's like, I'm not with him 24/7.
But Stefan also knows that Damon hasn't given up, but he knows that it's not looking good right now.
Yeah.
But also, there's no point in him saying that. And Stefan really just is like, you know, Bonnie, to be mad at me, that's fine. She's right to be mad at me, but I had to side with Damon. So Bonnie leaves, and Caroline approaches, and Caroline says, you know, she doesn't mean that. She's just upset. I'm going to go stay with Bonnie tonight. She needs me. This all has been a lot for her. And Stefan says, you know, I hated us being on the opposite side of the fight today. And Caroline says, I had to. And Stefan says, I know what you had to do, but I hated it. I hate all of this. And Caroline says, I hate it too. And then she leaves.
Being a fantastic friend and fiance, as she do.
Icon Caroline Forbes. We go over to the grill. Stefan is sitting at the bar with a glass of bourbon. And he writes, Dear Elena, where to begin?
Immediately downs the bourbon, which I can't blame him for. Because he's like, how do I even write this? Like, I'd lose it there and be like, girl, I'm straight up not writing about today. It was bad. If you want to know more, just ask me about like a tuning fork and Sybil. But I'm not getting into it.
I just can't write it all down right now. Another bourbon slides down the bar. It's from Rick. Rick says, looks like you could use that. And Stefan says, thanks. Just trying to find a fresh new way to deliver the same bad news. And Rick says, well, I think your engagement would qualify as good news. I'm pretty sure I forgot to say congrats earlier. I'm still not going to say it, but...
Pretty sure I forgot to say it. And this time I'm choosing not to say it.
Stefan says, yeah, thanks. I'm not sure today is how I wanted to spend the first day of it. Not to mention my best man just tried to take out a good chunk of the wedding party.
Classic Damon. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say.
Yeah. The bartender comes by to give Rick another drink. And Rick says, you can leave the bottle. Bartender says, no, I fucking can't.
He said, well, I'm upcharging for it. And Alex said, that's fine. I'm not paying for it. He's going to cover it.
Yeah. Put it on the Salvatore tab.
Or compel it away. Either way, I don't care. Either way, I'm not putting my card down.
Yeah, either way, you're not getting my credit card today. I can tell you that. Rick says, you know, I never had a brother. Damon was the closest thing. And I have to believe that if you've gotten him back before, there's got to be a way to do it again. And Stefan says, I don't know. This is different. I've never seen him like this before. I really hoped that when we put Sybil down, it'd break whatever control she had over him, that he'd go back to being whatever Damon's version of normal is. But somehow, some way, she still has a hold of him. We can see Sybil locked up in the armory, still humming her little song.
Mm-hmm.
So we can assume she's like remotely controlling him.
Yeah.
We go out to Damon's car. He's driving and he like gets a high-pitched sound affecting him. And we go into a memory of him cooking pancakes in the prison world. But when he gives the pancakes to someone, it's not Bonnie, it's Sybil. And Sybil says, I didn't know you cooked. And Damon says, hey, if you're going to be here all the time, I'm going to need to get more pancake batter. Sybil says, I'm only here because you obviously want me here. I think you've seen the light, Damon. You know true devotion to me is the only way to save you from what you fear most. But we still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, because that's what the devil does. If you serve the devil, he famously doesn't put you in hell. He sends you right to heaven. I'm being sarcastic, of course.
I can tell. Damon says, oh yeah, what else is there to do? And Sybil says, you still have too many attachments. Too many people willing to fight for you. They still believe you can be saved. We should work on that. What do they call it? Changing hearts and minds? Who calls it that?
It's like, what are you saying? Can you just tell me what I need to do?
What are you ever talking about?
Just give me an assignment.
We go out to the road. There's a body in the road and a car pulls up. We can see it's Damon in the road because who else would it be?
Mm-hmm.
The guy who approaches, you know, stops the car and comes out and approaches Damon to see if he's okay. And it's Tyler. So, you know, we see the writing on the wall pretty quick here.
It's not looking good. Enzo and Damon made it through. We need a good death. And if I'm Tyler, I see it's Damon in the road. I'm getting right back in the car.
Again, as I say, if I am any of these people, no matter where my life has gone, no matter how long it's been since I've seen these people, if I am driving and I see a body in the road, I'm going to like swerve around and look at the body at most to make sure it's not Damon before doing anything. But more likely, I'll swerve around it, call 911, say there's a body in the road. I'm not stopping.
I might crack the window and be like, hey, you okay? I'm calling 911, and then I'm driving away. Sorry, it's not my fault you ended up in a road.
And I do apologize if, like, it is a person that I drove away from, and it's not Damon, but I have to assume it's always Damon.
Yeah.
But that's not what Tyler does. Tyler gets out, and he says, oh, Damon. And, of course, Tyler seems to be somewhat aware of the goings-on, so he's not excited to see Damon by any means, like he ever would be.
And he's got a little goatee happening. He's very handsome.
Yeah, he looks very hot and sexy. And we'll remember the last time Tyler saw Damon. Damon beat him into a coma and then lit a coffin on fire.
More reason to get in the car.
Damon says, Lockwood. And Tyler says, you know, I heard you haven't been yourself lately. And Damon says, I am who I've always been. Just got to keep proving it. And Tyler says, well, okay, your fight's not with me, man. So he tries to walk away. Of course, he reaches for a gun. He does not do this nearly fast enough. And I know the camera plays in slow motion, but even without the slow motion, by the time he turns around, Damon grabs the gun and says, oh, nice hardware. Armory standard issue.
And also, from what we are meant to understand, Tyler is like a vampire hunter right now.
Yeah.
You had one gun. At a certain point, you have to work harder than that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying kill Damon, but you can certainly stake him.
You must have Vervain somewhere. Like, you got out of the car for a guy doing Damon's classic trick, and all you have is this little gun.
And you didn't shoot him before you got out of the car? What was the point of it all?
Honestly, as soon as you saw it was Damon, you should have shot him and then driven away.
Yeah. And said, hey, I left Damon here. Call Stefan and be like, you figure it out.
Yeah. Hey, just so you know, I think Damon tried to kill me. Not sure why. Anyway, hope you're well. Congrats on the engagement, man.
Yeah.
Tyler says, hey, you kill me, you can say goodbye to everything. No one forgives you for this.
And even when he said this, it's like, Tyler, you know, I don't think they'll be thrilled about it, surely. But, you know, I think we can bounce back from this one, unfortunately. And it's not your fault, but you've been out of the loop for a bit. Now, if it was Jeremy, I think this argument would have had more legs.
Yes.
Which is why Jeremy's not the one here. But also, Jeremy wouldn't have gotten out of the car either.
Yeah, Jeremy, if he saw Damon, he would have been like, oh, and then he would have shot him right away.
Yeah, Jeremy would have handled this better.
Damon says, I think we're way past that. And Tyler says, you know, you do have another option I just want to bring up. You could walk away. Fight whatever it is she wants you to do and get your life back. Just walk away, Damon. Think about what you want at the end of it all. Think about who you want. The subtext here being Elena. He said, reminder, I'm friends with Elena. She won't like that you killed me. Damon says, that's the problem. I don't want any of it anymore. And Tyler says, well, that's a lie.
And it is. But Tyler, I don't know if you're really the one to deliver that news.
And unfortunately, Damon, I think, thinks it's a lie, but doesn't really know because, you know, brain fried.
Yeah.
Damon says, is it? I wouldn't even know. And then he knocks the gun away. And Tyler says, okay, then do it. you know, if this is it, if this is the way I go out, then let me go out as the face that you can never erase from your brain. The face that reminds you to the end of time of the moment you gave up. The moment you threw away everything you ever wanted to be a siren's little bitch. Or maybe this will be the thing that wakes you up and both of our lives will be worth something at the end of it. So go ahead, do it, tear me apart. And if I'm Tyler, I'm like, you know what? Klaus didn't kill me. If this guy kills me, at least it wasn't Klaus. I'm taking the W.
Look, what do I have right now? I'm just a werewolf. My girlfriend's dead. And why was I dating that girl anyway? That was a weird couple. My ex-girlfriend just got engaged. I mean, what do I have going on? If anything, I can at least mess up Damon's life a little bit, I hope.
I do think that this is a valiant attempt that Tyler is doing, that he's basically like, let my face remind you of the moment you gave up on everything you care about. Because I think Tyler knows, like, Damon and Tyler have never been, like, that close of friends.
Yeah.
I think Tyler gives it the best effort he can here.
Oh, yeah.
I think where he makes a mistake is as soon as Damon starts to turn, run into your car, at least try to get away.
I mean, I think this argument would have worked many, many times. Unfortunately, Damon is just kind of losing it right now and, like, really under the thumb of someone controlling him. So,
yeah,
I think this would have worked so many other times.
Well, and I think he is trying to fight it because he does start to walk away. So I do think he does actually listen to Tyler and try to fight it.
Yeah. And I also will say, like, I get why Tyler doesn't immediately run, because he has to make it, like, seem like he's not worried about it.
Yeah.
So I think he's hoping he can slither off and Damon will take a little more time to change his mind. But alas.
Yeah. And we see Sybil lay down. So clearly Sybil's like, hey, I feel you walking away.
She said, excuse me. Knock, knock.
We hear Tyler's voice say, do it. But I do want to point out that we don't see Tyler say, do it.
Oh.
So I think we could make the argument that Sybil mimics Tyler's voice to say it. I think I could also just be overthinking it.
I think that's a good point. Because I do think at this point, Tyler would be like, I'm done. Like, my speech maybe worked. Let's let him get away.
So we hear the voice say, do it. So it's my fan theory that it's Sybil. Because then Damon turns back. Mm-hmm. And Tyler says, Damon.
Tyler says, hey, I thought that worked.
We see Sybil again. And then Damon, you know, shows his veins and his fangs and snarls. And Tyler says, hey, Damon, wait. And then Damon feeds on Tyler for a long time. And he looks to drain him of blood. And that's where we end the episode. So first question, is Tyler dead and is he dead for good?
You know, when I was watching this, I was thinking, yeah, because he's kind of an easy one to kill because he hasn't been around. He's not like that serious. But we didn't see a dead body. So unfortunately, I still have hope. But I do think I would say 70% he's dead.
Gotcha. If he's dead, what kind of repercussions will this have? Will people find out? Will this have the effect that Tyler said, that people will really be upset with Damon for this? What are the effects of this?
I think the goal of this for Sybil is to have him do this so she can say, well, he killed Tyler, so he's not worth saving. Like, that's what she essentially says. Like, too many people think you can be saved.
Yeah.
Here's evidence that you can't be. So I do think she's going to drop that because, like, she's in a cell, but she'll run her mouth.
Oh, yeah. One thing about her.
Which I can't blame her for. If you're in a cell, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
So I do think it will come out. And I think people will be mad. But I also, like, I think back to, you know, the season 7 finale where Stefan makes a point to say, you know, anything after this point isn't Damon's fault. And I think, you know, they've seen enough of, like, its control. They can't really control all this to not forgive Damon right away. Like, they will be mad about this, obviously. But it is something that, like, I think the knee-jerk reaction will be to say, like, okay, well, we lost him. It's over. But I do think Stefan will fight for it a little bit because it's still his brother. No matter what Damon does, Stefan's going to be leaving his brother.
Do you think we're going to get a funeral for Tyler? Or do you think it's going to be like, let's move on?
I think we might have a memorial, but I don't think they're paying Michael Trevino for another episode, even to be a dead body.
Well, they could have a funeral without showing a dead
That's
body.
That's true. That's
they
true.
They can show a pic. It doesn't have to be open casket.
That's true.
Next question. Is Enzo released? They make a point to say that Damon's not, but is Enzo released from Sybil?
Because Bonnie says she can get Enzo to the cabin, it appears. So he's, like, not within her grasp physically, but I don't think he's, like, fully released.
Well, his humanity is off, we know.
Yeah, his humanity is off, but I think she still has claws in him. Because I think if one were going to be released, the other would also be released by the sound. Like, I don't think it would just clear one, you know?
Sure.
And I think Enzo just might have more of an ability to get away because if she's further away, he may be able to, like, get further away from that attachment because he's already had the wall up and he's already been pushing.
Yeah, she's not very deep in his subconscious at all.
And also, like, at this point, she said she only needs one. So she might just be putting her energy into Damon right now.
So do you think Enzo is going to be hooked back in, or do you think his storyline moves on without being hooked into Sybil? Or do you think we have to unhook him somehow?
I think we have to unhook him still, but I think he will be less hooked than Damon is.
How do we unhook them, and how does it differ between the two of them?
I think there has to be some way to sever the link she has, sever the psychic link. And it may be, you know, I think the sound is a path for it, because the sound is how they got hooked. So we have to think perhaps that's how you unhook. So maybe it's a different sound. Maybe there's like another creature that can choose to unhook. It also may be that whoever Sybil is serving can be like, these are a waste of your time, I'm unhooking them.
So if it were a sound, why didn't the tuning fork do it?
I think it would be a different sound.
Okay.
Like, because I think this is a sound to immobilize the siren, but that doesn't necessarily cut the hooks. I'm trying to think of other mythological things. Like, I'm thinking of like the Fates cutting threads.
Sure.
Because I do think essentially it is a hook. Like, she's got a line in them telling them what to do. Like, how do we cut that line is really the question.
No, yeah, that's the question I asked. You're just rephrasing it to avoid answering it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of like, but I'm thinking it's severing the line like magically. I mean, obviously that's the answer, but I did it.
That's applause.
I got it right.
So I asked you, how do we like unhook them? And you said, I think we have to sever the line. Yeah.
Well, that's different than unhooking. I didn't say pull the hook out.
Okay, I just used unhook as a metaphor. I said, how do you sever the line? You said, well, I think we have to sever the line.
Based off what we've seen so far, like the emotional, like, don't do it doesn't really work. And even like Enzo is fighting, but he's still hooked. Like, so that kind of emotion side doesn't work. So I think it has to be, maybe you have to kill her to do it, but I don't know that that's the case. I bet she can choose to unhook if she wanted to.
Sure. Let me ask you in a way to help you get to this, to get to a conclusion here. How did she hook them other than sound? There's a reason that Damon's been loyal, and he said it many times, because he saw hell.
Oh, he saw hell. Okay, but didn't Enzo also see hell?
Yes. So I'm asking, maybe there's a way there. If seeing hell was what hooked them.
Seeing peace is what unhooks.
Maybe.
Or maybe seeing the real hell.
Yeah. And it's just like kind of boring, but it's not bad.
And it's like fine. Yeah.
It's like a waiting room.
Yeah. Or it's like, oh, we actually don't do hell for you guys.
Or it's just like the other side again.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's correct. I'm just leading you to a conclusion.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm leading you to a wrong one.
The other option I was thinking from what you were saying, because I wasn't really following you.
Clearly.
As well as I should have, is that Damon is kind of the one who led Enzo into being hooked. Like, he kind of trapped him in a way. Maybe you can sever the link between Enzo and Damon, but Damon, you have to sever the link from Sybil specifically.
Okay.
Or there's the converse of that maybe Enzo, you have to sever the link from both Damon and Sybil, so it's harder.
So how long until Enzo is free from Sybil, and how long until Damon is free from Sybil? If they're the same or different, doesn't matter.
So we're in episode 3. You know, we know this is a 16 episode season, and based off kind of the general idea, I think we can assume there's 3 chapters in this season.
Do you want me to tell you how many chapters there are?
No, let me get this. And if I'm wrong, then we'll get there.
Okay.
So I'm thinking each chapter is like 5 episodes, give or take, you know, one sure. Could be 6, whatever. So I think Enzo's free in the next 2 episodes. Like, unfortunately, Bonnie is fighting for him. And there's still a chance Bonnie can get her magic back, by the way.
Okay.
I don't think we can say that will never happen, you know?
Yeah.
Damon, I think it's a little longer. I think we've got like 3 or 4 episodes. I think once they're out, we can move to the next chapter. But the other option, here's my thought of what the chapters are. I never have one this early.
I'd love to hear it. Yeah.
The first one we know is the Siren chapter. So the second one, I think we have to go to whoever is controlling Sybil or who she's working in service of.
Do you want to try to guess the name of that creature?
Well, we've made a point to say sirens are servants to the devil.
Okay. If that's the name you want to stick with, sure.
I'm guessing there's a better name.
I didn't say that.
I've said that I don't think there's like one devil we're working with. But we've been in this demon path for a while. So I think there's a name of a creature or a name.
I'm laughing so hard about what the second chapter is actually called.
Am I really far off?
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. And then I think the last chapter, So I'm saying, like, Damon and Enzo could be unhooked before that second chapter, or it could take us knowing who is leading Sybil for them to get unhooked.
Yeah.
Those are the two possibilities. And then I think the last chapter, we focus more on the afterlife, and that leads us eventually to peace for a handful of characters. So perhaps the peace chapter.
Interesting.
That's my outline.
That's your guesses. Additionally, how long will Enzo's humanity be off? Will that be tied into this unhooking process, or will those not be at the same time?
I think once he's unhooked, he'll have maybe an episode with it off. But I mean, Enzo loves Bonnie down. Like, he'll get out. Like, Bonnie has a power over him. Sybil saw it. I saw it. Like, she can do it.
It's love. I have another question as well. We saw this tuning fork this week.
Mm-hmm.
All of our main characters at one point heard it.
Mm-hmm.
The only people who were affected by it were Sybil and the twins.
Mm-hmm.
We know, based on, you know, where we found it, the research they've done, it came into the armory with Sybil.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew it was connected to Sirens. So why did it affect the twins?
I think we have to assume that there's some origin story of Siphons that falls within, like, being, again, servants of the devil in some way. You know, we know as soon as Kai, it was determined it was a Siphon, he was, like, immediately ostracized from his family. That was, like, considered evil off the bat. We also called the heretics the heretics. That could finally mean something useful.
That would make sense why the Geminis were so against Siphons, if they were somehow connected to this.
So I think there's a potential that it's, like, in theory, Siphons began as servants of the devil. Maybe they severed that link. Maybe they didn't. But I think that's why they heard it. Maybe there's an origin story where there are a set of supernatural creatures that came from hell, essentially, or came from mythology or ancient times.
Sure.
Because we know vampires came about from a spell, but we don't know, like, where witches began. We don't know, like, where a lot of these started. And so it may be that there was, like, you know, some creation story here for a lot of these supernatural creatures. So maybe in 2200 BC is when a lot of these, like, creatures came to be.
So do you think Siphons and Sirens are related? Do you think they share any powers?
I don't think they necessarily share powers, but I think they share, like, a lineage.
Okay. You have to imagine if a Siphon had Siren powers, one of the evil ones would have figured it out by now.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you can draw some parallels to Sybil, like, pulling memories out of their head or reforming memories in some way. You could call that siphoning. So it may be that Siphons were one of the first things, and then Sirens evolved from those in some way. But I do think we have to assume they both had their beginnings with whatever creature is controlling Sybil.
Okay, interesting. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, if you are enjoying The Vampire Diaries and or Doppelgangers, please tell your friends and give us 5 stars, rating, and review on Apple and Spotify podcasts.
And follow us on Instagram and TikTok @Doppelgangers Podcast.
But that's it for this week. Until next week, goodbye, brother.
Goodbye, brother.